This is the Feet into Worlds podcast. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. This episode is part of Is It Safe Here? Redefining Sanctuary in the Trump Era, the latest issue of our online magazine, and you can find it at fi2w.org. More than a million New Yorkers carry a municipal ID issued by the city. The ID NYC program was launched in January 2015 to help undocumented immigrants and others unable to obtain other forms of government identification. City officials point to the program as an important aspect of New York's sanctuary policies for immigrants without legal papers. But the strident anti-immigrant policies of the Trump administration are creating new challenges for the municipal ID. Rosalind Tordesillas has the story.
This is a historic day because for hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers, this will be the first time they could get any kind of ID. If you're like me, you're going to go get a municipal ID card.
On a January morning in 2015, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio unveiled the city's new municipal ID at a ceremony at the Queens Library. The faces around him showed why Queens has been called one of the most ethnically diverse urban areas in the world. That stagecraft underlined the ID's stated mission of inclusivity. But IDNYC was created only after long debate. Some critics questioned whether the largest city in the U.S. could implement the program securely and efficiently. Others simply opposed giving undocumented immigrants any legitimacy. But the administration made the case for integrating them and others on the margins into the fabric of the city.
One piece of plastic, but it's going to open so many doors for our fellow New Yorkers. Because in the absence of identification in a modern society, there are so many things you can't do. It's going to mean people can lead fuller lives, better lives, lives full of respect and recognition.
Respect and recognition were things Rolando had struggled for years as an undocumented immigrant in New York. When he heard about the City ID program, he was so excited he made appointments at three different enrollment centers. Rolando remembers the day the card arrived in the mail.
Oh yeah, it's like winning the lottery.
Some of his housemates, Filipino immigrants like himself, got their IDs that same day.
When I looked at the envelope, I knew it was an ID because you can feel it from the outside. And there was two or three envelopes more with the same address and everything. They all looked the same. So I called my friends. I said, hey, your ID is here.
And of course, they partied.
We went to a Filipino restaurant and they were like bragging to them, oh, we have IDs. You wanna come with us? We're going back home. It's like feeling you got your green card.
That was 2 years ago. Rolando had been in limbo for some time. Since he'd overstayed his visa, he couldn't travel home. And getting a green card that would allow him to stay in the U.S. legally was a distant dream. Since he couldn't get an official government ID, he made do with an employee ID from an old workplace. He did odd jobs to get by, mostly working as a messenger. It was always tricky getting into buildings to make deliveries. But the first time he used his IDNYC, a doorman who used to give him a hard time noticed.
He looked at me and maybe he was thinking, oh, he's got a new ID now. And probably he was thinking, this is legit. This has barcodes and holograms and everything. It's really legit.
This feeling of legitimacy and security is exactly what Mayor de Blasio and other advocates of IDNYC were aiming for.
We are adamant that people cannot and should not live in the shadows. We don't want any of our fellow New Yorkers to feel like second-class citizens. This ID addresses substantially the notion that we all matter. And everyone has an identity. By definition, everyone's identity should be recognized.
Back when IDNYC was created, the environment was considered hostile to undocumented immigrants. Immigrant rights advocates called President Obama the deporter-in-chief for the record number of deportations under his administration. But few anticipated the level of anti-immigrant sentiment and the stepped-up deportation policies brought by the Trump administration.
President Trump is threatening to turn off the federal spigot for any city that refuses to cooperate on people in this country illegally.
The directives signed today by President Trump include revoking federal funds from so-called sanctuary cities, which are said to protect undocumented immigrants.
The president's executive order squares him off with the mayor of the nation's third largest city because of what it does.
Cracks down on sanctuary cities.
The federal government has intensified efforts to find undocumented immigrants and deport them. Can having one's identity recognized through a municipal ID become a liability? Those policies and the national mood where hate crimes against immigrants have increased dramatically have created challenges for and raised questions about the IDNYC program. I checked back with Rolando recently. The card that once made him feel welcomed is no longer enough to overcome his fear.
Me and most of my friends who are in the same boat are like rats hiding underground. We try to avoid places where, you know, crowds are, like Times Square. Somebody might, you know, create trouble. And when you get in contact with the cops, you might get locked up, and that would begin the process of you being deported.
New York's municipal ID is part of a broader city policy of providing sanctuary to undocumented immigrants. But IDNYC will not protect them from deportation, and it's not a work permit or a path to citizenship. So what is its value? Nisha Agarwal is the commissioner of the New York City Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs.
We want to set a very different tone than what people are hearing from the federal level, so at least there isn't the fear of city government, even if the federal government is trying to cultivate that kind of fear.
At a training session at the Ecuadorian consulate in Queens, immigrants are taken through a mock immigration and customs enforcement raid.
El documento que pueden presentar es el ID de Nueva York.
Trainer Gladys Coloma from the immigrant advocacy group Make the Road New York says everyone should have an IDNYC.
Pero si ustedes presentan un pasaporte o presentan un documento falso.
Unlike a passport, it doesn't show the holder's national origin or immigration status, a small advantage in an encounter with federal immigration authorities.
Que no da mucha información a la policía.
Despite assurances from immigrant rights groups and city officials, there is fear that the card could help federal authorities identify people for deportation. The worry is that the federal government could gain access to the information immigrants provide to the city when they apply for the card. Communities that suffer disproportionately from police practices are particularly cautious about IDNYC. Benjamin Nduga Kabuya works with the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, a group that raised questions about the municipal ID program when it was first introduced. He says Black immigrants are especially at risk for deportation, even in sanctuary cities like New York.
The number one arrest category in New York City is for fare beating, so basically not being able to pay the fare on the train. And so people are able to be deported for not being able to pay a $2.75 fare and being separated from their family because of that. And that particularly has an egregious impact on Black immigrants with some of the most highly policed communities in New York City.
Nduga Kabuya argues that a database of personal information like the one the city created when it launched the IDNYC program is just one more tool that federal authorities can use in the crackdown on undocumented immigrants.
Even if this administration says that it would keep the data safe for any number of years, the whims of a federal government or a state government could leave people vulnerable. And again, at the end of the day, we do not trust our data with anybody.
The city had to balance those privacy concerns with doubts about the safety of the program. It settled on a policy of retaining copies of documents applicants submitted to prove their identity and residency, like passports and bank statements. But the law creating the card provided the option of destroying them after 2 years. Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Agarwal explains.
this is the largest city in America. We wanted to make sure if we're creating a new identification card that it's safe and secure, and that we're able to follow up if we need to. And so it was sort of built into the law, let's in 2 years sort of reevaluate whether this policy of retaining the documents still makes sense.
But following the election of Donald Trump as president, the city moved to destroy those stored copies and changed its policy. Now, after a new application is approved, the city does not keep copies of the applicant's personal documents.
That's what the city did. We sort of followed the law, we evaluated it, and in consultation with NYPD and others, really decided that we don't need to retain the documents. There's not actually a huge security risk associated with the program or with the participants in the program.
Two members of the New York State Assembly sued the city to retain the material that had already been collected. The suit cited public security concerns. The city won the case, but the court's decision is still under appeal, so those documents have not yet been destroyed. While the Black Alliance supports the city's new policy of not keeping applicants' sensitive materials, it's still concerned for earlier IDNYC holders.
And the fact is that 900,000 people are now vulnerable. And so already we put in our community that's already vulnerable in a dangerous position. And there's no telling what could happen.
Despite his reservations, Nduga Kabuya acknowledges that IDNYC is a resource few undocumented immigrants can afford to do without. They need it to access city services or enter places like hospitals or their kids' schools. Community groups and city officials say all they can do is put out the most accurate information about the ID so people can weigh the risks and benefits depending on their own situation. Meanwhile, the IDNYC team is reaching even deeper into communities still desperate for the IDs. At the United Sherpa Association Community Center in Queens, Himalayan seniors are observing Sakadawa, a sacred Buddhist holiday. I'm at Tupten Chakrishar here. He's the co-founder of the Himalayan Elders Project. He was eager to talk about how they and other community groups got together to ask the city for a 2-week pop-up enrollment center. The city had previously set up mobile sign-up sites, specially outfitted vans, but they just didn't meet the demand.
They came here twice, but the mobile site was basically, they could do only like 20 people at a time, a day. And there were overwhelming number of people applying, and we had to turn down many of the people. It wasn't very good feeling.
For the first time for any municipal service, the city is supplying application forms for IDNYC in Tibetan and Nepali. For those relatively small but growing language groups, it's a big step forward.
Basically, then you directly deal with the government instead of somebody else translating things for you, and you don't know where you're signing or things like that. So right now, it's very, very straightforward in the mayor's office to that immigrant person in their own language. So it's a direct conversation between the mayor and the immigrant.
Outside the pop-up in this quiet woodside neighborhood, I found Choti, who brought her recently arrived cousin to get her ID. They appreciate the effort to reach immigrants where they live with volunteers from the community.
Both from my country, especially if they don't speak English, they have someone in Nepali explaining what to do. And also for people from Tibet can come here and do all the stuff. But I heard like, you don't need to be Nepali to come here. You can any kind of people can come here. Like, I think it's much easier for them instead of going to city where they have to do every application themselves. Over here, they tell you what to do and then it's easy. They'll help you. It's very nice.
Chakrishar from the Himalayan Elders Project is excited others won't have to struggle navigating the city like he did when he was undocumented.
For an undocumented immigrant, it just changes the whole picture. IDNYC, I usually say, is a key to the city of New York. It literally opens doors.
Commissioner Agarwal cites a survey commissioned by the city last year. 77% of immigrant IDNYC holders said the card gave them a greater sense of belonging in New York City. She says that matters at a time when immigrants feel constantly under attack.
So I think from the mayor, you know, you've heard the police commissioner, sort of leadership across the city saying the city is safe. We have no interest in cooperating with immigration enforcement or being an arm of immigration enforcement. I think those messages are very important. We're just showing that city government is sort of coming to you in your community and we're a resource. I think that's really what my goal is, and I'm hoping that we're accomplishing that.
Now, the city is trying to apply the lessons it's learned from the IDNYC rollout to more services. Like Action NYC, an initiative to provide legal aid to immigrants.
It's like a storm.
Remember Rolando, who was among the first to get his ID?
It comes, then it goes. And now there's a storm, it is worse. And hopefully when it goes, it will be better.
Despite his fears about the Trump administration, he still believes New York City is the safest place for him to be right now. IDNYC is one plank in a shelter where he hunkers down.
That's my only hope. I survived 22 years already. I can survive a couple of years more.
Comparing the Trump administration to a storm makes sense for Rolando. He grew up in the Philippines, where typhoons can be disastrous. New York City is working to help undocumented residents like him weather the storm. It remains to be seen if the city can offer enough protection in these turbulent times. For Feet Into Worlds, I'm Rosalind Tordesillas.
This podcast was produced as part of Is It Safe Here? Redefining Sanctuary in the Trump Era, the latest issue of the Feet Into Worlds online magazine. For more Sanctuary City stories, go to our website, fi2w.org. Our executive producer is John Rudolph. Our editor is Rosalind Tordesillas, and Rachel Bongiorno is our managing editor. Our associate producer is Stephanie Rodriguez, and I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. The music in this episode is from Lee Rosevere on Free Music Archive. Feet Into Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. Our supporters include the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, and listeners like you. Support our work. You can make a contribution on our website at fi2w.org. Feet Into Worlds is a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.